the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to start reading at verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for your precious word. I thank you, Father, that we have an absolute Bible that is absolute truth. Thank you so much, Father, that as we stand today to preach this word, we know it's your word. And thank you, Father, that everything that's stated therein is true and will take place. We thank you for this congregation this morning as they've come to hear and listen. We pray, Lord, the precious will of God be done this morning in every heart. Should there be those, Father, that have never truly come to Christ and received him as their personal Savior, Father, that this will be the day that you're allowed to work in their heart and life, convict them, and bring them to that place. We pray also, Father, for we that are God's children, to Father, to honor you today and to thank you for your wonderful grace and mercy that you've bestowed upon us. Once again, the will of God be done, you be glorified and honored, and we will thank you and praise you. In the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There was a preacher and a lawyer standing and talking and discussing crime and justice. In most courthouses, as you know, there is usually a symbol of a woman standing. And the reason they use a woman, because it represents chastity or purity. She's blindfolded. That represents the fact that there is injustice, there is supposed to be no respecter. She also has in her hands a balance. And in that balance simply is showing forth that evidence is carefully weighed in every situation. Also, she has a sword, that whenever guilt is found, the sword will fall. The lawyer said this kind of judgment is only in the statutes of the law. It does not take place. The preacher said, no, but one day it will, at the judgment seat of God. And that's for sure. We're going to talk about today the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment, it's called great because it's the last thing on human history. It's because the great God is going to carry it out. It's white because it's righteous. It's a righteous judgment. There will be no mistakes made whatsoever. And it's called the throne because of him who sits upon that throne. The Lord Jesus Christ will sit upon that throne that day. And of course, it's an awesome, awesome day. I can't imagine it. I sometimes try to imagine things that I read in the Bible and what it's going to be like. And there's no way most of the time to do that. I think about it, eternity, and think about how do you describe eternity? How do you describe a God that had no beginning and has no ending, has always been and always will be? It's amazing. We have a wonderful God. But we know that this here, and I'm very grateful to know, although there will never be that kind of justice on this earth, I am grateful to know that there is coming a day when righteous judgment will be meted out. And our God will absolutely, absolutely make absolutely no mistakes. We know that because he's God. I think about it and I try to put it in my mind and think how it would be. It's going to be an awesome day. If you remember, this is the final stage of human history. Every individual that has ever been born that did not receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will be at that judgment. They'll stand before God Almighty. I think it's a very serious and awesome thing to think about. It also makes me very, very thankful that I will not have to stand there. I want you to understand it's not because I don't deserve to stand there. I want you to understand that. But I'm just very grateful and thankful God in all his mercy and grace was kind enough to forgive this preacher of his sin and give him eternal life because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I want you also to know that he did that for every person upon the face of the earth. And if you've never received Christ as your Savior, oh, he would rejoice in giving you that eternal life today because he loves you. There's a used to be, and I have not done a whole lot of knitting in my life, but my wife has. She's done a lot. And I noticed years ago, and I don't even know if that's still true, but she had some yarn. And on the package of that yarn that it was packaged in, there was a picture of a lamb and a picture of a lion. Now, it may still be that way. I don't know. I haven't looked lately. But the idea was that the lamb showing forth the tenderness, the soft and pleasant touch of the yarn. The lion represented the strength and durability of that yarn. We have that also in our Lord Jesus Christ. You have in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53, and of course other places in the Bible, but you have a picture of a precious Lamb of God. The coming lamb that died upon the cross, willingly died there, tender, yielding himself up to this old world for us. But you also have in Psalms, the second Psalm, Psalms 24 and other chapters of the Bible, you have a picture not just of the Lamb of God as a meek lamb, but as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who's going to come and going to judge all things. He will no longer be yielded over to the whims of men. Men will no longer be able to take him and crucify him. For 2,000 years ago, that's what they did. They took the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they give him a fake trial. And then took him out and crucified him and rubbed their hands together and shook their hands as though they would now be rid of him and never again ever have to deal with him. My friend, there is no one that's rid of him. They may think they got rid of him, but they didn't. We have a risen Savior. The Son of God, who rose from the dead, was buried, of course, and rose from the dead, ascended into the heavens, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and soon coming again. And then there's coming this time that we're going to discuss in the scriptures, a time when judgment will be meted out. The great white throne judgment, God calls it in his word. Yes, those who thought they were done with him will absolutely have to face him. Those who took a whip and scourged him will stand before him and face him. Those who spit upon him. Does that ever bother you? Every time I read that in the scriptures, I literally scringe. To think there were men who spit, brought spit up into their mouth, and took it and flew it at the Son of God. They'll have to face him one of these days. Those who smote him on the face, and I suppose when it speaks about that, it means and talks about slapping him on the face. You imagine slapping the Son of God, the creator of the universe. But they too will one day stand before him at this judgment. Those who plucked out his beard. Those who accused him of having a devil. Those who laughed at him and mocked at him will one day face him. Yes, Judas Iscariot, who denied him and betrayed him, will one day stand before him. Yes, sir. Folks, there is no one who is done with Jesus. Right. Right. Yes, amen. You see, judgment is coming, and let me say also, everyone that has rejected him, said no to the salvation he offers, will stand in that judgment. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, I don't know your condition today because God did not make me the reader of hearts. But I do know this. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the most wisest thing you could ever do is get saved this morning.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Because without being forgiven, there comes the day when this judgment, which is talked about in this scripture, will take place and you will be there. You can't skip it. You can't get away from it. You absolutely will be there. You see, at Calvary, you see Jesus as the Lamb of God, the wonderful, precious Lamb that died for our sins. It's at the great white throne judgment you're going to meet the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who brings forth judgment. And oh, you say, I will appeal, I will talk to him. No, no, there'll be no appeals. It's already decided. You understand? See, at Calvary, there's life. The great white throne judgment, there's nothing but death. Absolutely nothing but death. At Calvary, men will stand in Christ's righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus Christ, when we receive him as our personal Savior, is imputed unto us. It's added unto us. That's how we can stand before God, because we're standing in Jesus' righteousness. But at the great white throne judgment, men stand in their own filthy righteousness. You know, in the book of Isaiah, God speaks about the righteousness of the natural man is as filthy rags. I heard it described. I don't know whether it's a good description. I don't know whether we can describe it horribly enough. But I heard it described one time that if you would take maybe an arm that was severely wounded, terribly wounded, terribly cut, and you would take bandages and wrap that and leave it there for days and it become infected. And after days you would take that off, you can almost imagine the horribleness of them rags and how horrible it would be. And he said that's exactly what God's talking about when he talks about the filthiness of the righteousness of men.
Yep.
See, we don't get it. We don't understand. When God looks down upon us, he doesn't see good in us. And all of those that want to reject Jesus Christ, what he sees is the filthy, filthy rags of their own righteousness. But you can stand before Calvary, because of Calvary, in the righteousness of Jesus, which is perfect. Amen. You see, at Calvary, there is grace, wonderful, precious grace of God, mercy of God. But at the great white throne judgment, there's nothing but judgment. No grace. There'll be none at the great white throne judgment. At Calvary, there's a pardon. Isn't it good that God pardoned us? Whew, I'm so glad for the pardon of God because of his son. But at the white throne judgment, there'll be nothing but condemnation. There won't be any pardons handed out. It'll be all condemnation. Let's look for just a moment, because in verse 11 he says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." I want to look for just a few moments at the judge. I want to look at him who's sitting on the throne, the wonderful Son of God, Jesus Christ. You see, heaven and earth shall flee away at his presence. Look what it says there, whose face it set upon it, and from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. The sinful earth has been so tainted it can't stand in the presence of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In fact, I'm going to go back to Revelation 6 for just a few moments. Revelation 6, and I want to start reading at verse number 12. I want you to listen. This is awesome verses of Scripture. Just listen to the story. He says in verse 12, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal." If you do not have an understanding of that, which is all right, but the sixth seal happens during the tribulation period. There's seven seals that are opened. This is the sixth seal that is open. Thank God, God's children will have gone in the rapture. I'm not saying that braggingly. We ought to say that with thanksgiving. That we do not have to face what happens here in this tribulation period. But if you notice, "And I beheld there he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon become as blood. And the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll." Now, folks, this is happening, literally happening, going to happen. "When it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place." Did you hear that? Every island, every mountain will be moved out of its place. Now listen, because this is what I want you to hear. "And the kings of the earth and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains." You ever been down in any in caves? How many's been down in caves? The majority of the people's been down in caves. That's an awesome thing. I'm a little bit claustrophobic, and I don't care much about going down in caves. You know, I've been down in them. But every time I get down there, I think, what if there's an earthquake? You maybe don't do those things, you know. I think one day my wife and I was down there, and I said, "Honey, wonder if there's an earthquake." She said, "Bob." But these people, all of them, from the rich to the great to the bond to the free, are hiding themselves in the rocks of the mountains, and listen what they ask for. "And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Folks, in that day it is going to be so horrible, they get into the mountains and the caves of the mountain, and they beg for the mountain and the rocks to fall on them. What for? What are they scared of? The face of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. You know why? Because his wrath is turned loose. He's mad. He's angry. And they are afraid of him. They would druther the mountains fall upon him, on them. They don't realize they're still going to face him. Understand? You see, this is all why. So it's the great day of his wrath. There's coming a day when God's wrath is going to be poured out. And here at this judgment, that's what he's talking about here. Heaven and earth shall flee away. because it cannot stand in the presence of the Lamb of God. Now, I know one thing about him. He's omnipotent. That's one of those big old words. It simply means he's got all the power. He's all powerful. Folks, I mean, there's nothing that he can't do. Nothing. He is all powerful. You see, he's the Supreme Court of the universe. You can't appeal to anybody higher than him. Say, oh, I'll appeal. When I get there, I'll appeal. No, you won't. You can't appeal to anybody else, and he's not going to let you. Sorry, decided. Guilty is the verdict at the great white throne judgment. He's also omnipresent everywhere at all times. Amen? Amen. And I want to just take time just to read to you. You don't have to turn there. You can in Psalms 139. I would like to read to you a few verses of Scripture. This is our God, okay? In verse 7 of 139, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. And he said, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. God says, you can't get away from me. I'm everywhere present. People think they can flee from God. They can hide from God, but you can't. He's everywhere present. See, that's our wonderful, wonderful God. Not only that, he knows all things. Well, that's an awesome thought. When you think about it, you think about this judgment, you think about people who have lived all down through the ages, there is absolutely nothing that he doesn't know about them. He knows all about their thoughts. He knows about the intents of our hearts. You know, I think about that sometimes, and I find myself doing it. I say, oh, Lord, this is why I'm doing this. And then I had to stop and think, no, Lord, you know even the intents of my heart. You know exactly why I'm doing it. Is it for the glory of Bob Ross, or is it for the glory of God? You understand? Because God knows. Amen? It's an awesome thing to know that we serve a God who knows all the deeds that we have done and the very thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm glad of Calvary. I'm thankful for the blood that washed away my sins. Now, folks, listen. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, they're not washed away. You still have them. And somebody's going to have to pay for them, either Jesus or you. One or the other. Okay? Great white throne judgment. Not only that, he's righteous. And he won't lower his standards for anybody. Nobody. He's perfect. He's righteous. And he's not going to lower his standards at the judgment seat. Let's look at the basis of the judgment. Chapter 20, verse number 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. When he talks about death and hell, I believe he's talking about the body and the soul. He says, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. The basis of judgment is going to be according to the works. That judgment. You see, we're not here at that judgment to be judged for salvation. You understand? This is not for Christians. This is for those who have rejected and said no to the blessed Savior. All lost will be at this judgment. And if one should, and I don't think they're going to be allowed to, but if one should come and number all his earthly achievements, he's going to find out in God's eyes they were nothing but filthy rags. If one comes and pleads and talks to him about that Christian that lived beside of him and was such a hypocritical Christian, and that he should take in consideration that because he's tried to do good and that fellow claimed to be a Christian, that he was a terrible example, and he'll find out that if he was a Christian, was not accepted on his works, but was accepted because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to stress there, it is very important that we walk with God. It's very important we do not be a hypocritical neighbor. Very, very important. But we're not accepted on those bases. We're accepted on the precious fact that Jesus died for us, and we put our faith and trust in him. See, all will hear at this judgment, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." Can you imagine just a few moments, stop and think about standing in that judgment? Can you imagine just for a moment, if you're here without Christ, having, and you will, if you don't get saved? Can you imagine that, standing in the judgment of the Son of God? It's an awesome thing. You know, we're living in a society that doesn't really believe in hell. Yep. Many of them say they don't anyway. But it really makes no difference, because I want to reread and I want you to listen. I don't want you to sleep. I want you to listen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Verse number 13, just listen to what it says. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." You hear this. At this judgment, when all is decided and all is done, every individual that stands at this judgment will be cast into the lake of fire. That's for sure. Into a lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. And he said, this is the second death. The first death is your earthly death. The second death is the lake of fire. And listen to what he says. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Let me ask you a question. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Is your name written? He said, if it is not, and you face this judgment, you will be cast into the lake of fire. Did you know that that's not what God wants for you? He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Don't you understand that God does not want to have you to face this judgment and be cast into the lake of fire? God does not want that for you, but that will happen if you reject him. I'm going to suggest something. I'm going to suggest that you settle your case out of court. I did that back in 1966. I had been I want to call it sometimes, religious person. We went to church. We believed in God. We was not, after we got married, Donna and I got married, we were not faithful in church or those things, but we would have considered ourselves good people and believers in God. Went to a little old church on the other side of Brazil, Indiana, a little old country church that sets up on a hill with a preacher, just a man of God who was a farmer, never went to Bible college or anything like that, got called late in life to preach, and that's what he did. He'd just get up every week and just faithfully preach the Bible, tell us things about God, tell us that we were old sinners. Amen. And he just preached to us, tell us though that there was a way that we could be right with God.
Amen.
And in 1966, in fact, April of 1966, I walked forward at a revival meeting The old preacher's preaching. I don't remember a whole lot about it. I'd heard my own preacher preach for weeks and weeks and months, so I knew where I was at. But the old preacher preached that night, the revival. His name was Mr. Goins. He preached the word of God, and I put my songbook down in my seat and walked forward, and Brother Evans, my preacher, took me over and knelt at an altar, told me the word of God, and told me what Jesus done for me, how much he loved me. I don't remember a whole lot, but I just remember saying, Lord, that's what I want. I want to be forgiven. I want to be cleansed. I'll be truthful. It's all right if you did. I didn't get up and run around the church. I was pretty much of an introvert. And I stood in front of the church, and they asked me what happened. I said, I just got saved. It was just that simple to me. My wife, 2 weeks later, got saved. She was a little bit aggravated at me. She said, why didn't you wait on me? But it was all right. 2 weeks later, she pulled her car over to the side of the road. Said, Lord, I'm an old sinner. I need to be saved. She can take you to where it was. We settled our case out of court. I will not stand at the judgment, this judgment. I will not stand there at that great white throne judgment. Not because of my deserving, but because of Jesus, the Son of God, who died for me. There was a wagon train years and years ago going out west. And one day they was traveling across the plains, and there was some hilly areas, and they saw some smoke way in the distance, and they came upon the top of a hill, and sure enough, way in the distance, there was a wall of flame. And they began to panic. The wagon master went in behind the wagon train and struck a match, or however he started it, but started a fire. And it began to burn course in behind them. Once it had went a different distance, he turned the wagons around and headed into the burnout area. And sure enough, they kept looking and watching, and this little girl was so scared because she seen this wall of flames coming. And she said, sir, you said, are you sure we're safe? He said, we sure are. He said, you know why? We're in the area where the fire is already burnt, and we don't have to worry about it. You see, at Calvary, that's what happened. The fire and wrath of God fell upon the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And he's already took it. When you stand at Calvary, you stand in a secure and safe place.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That you'll never have to ever worry about the judgment that we're talking about here today.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Do you understand?
Yes,
sir. See, what I'm saying to you is, I would suggest that you come to Calvary, and you won't have to stand at the white throne judgment. Come to Calvary. Come to Jesus. You'll never have to worry about this judgment. See, I'd like to ask you, have you been to Calvary? Have you been there? Have you been to the place where judgment has already fallen upon the Son of God, Jesus Christ? If not, why don't you come to him, the Lamb of God? You won't have to face the Lion of the tribe of Judah at this judgment we've been talking to. Why don't you settle your case out of court?
Yes,
many of you have. Why don't you today? You're here without Christ. You've never been saved. God loves you so much. He just loves you so much. He sent Jesus to take all of the judgment that you and I deserve. Why don't you come and receive him and put your faith and your trust in the Son of God this morning? Because he loves you, he died for you, and he wants you to be saved. We Christians, let me just say to you, just rejoice this morning. In your own hearts, look back to that day when judgment fell on the Son of God and you came to Calvary and got it all forgiven. Be thankful and grateful for what Jesus Christ has done for you. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Father, I want to thank you again today for Calvary. I thank you for your precious, wonderful love for me and for all the world, how you died for us to give us eternal life. And Father, my prayer is today, please, Lord, you know, you just, in this size of crowd, you're just almost sure there's probably someone that's not saved. And Lord, you would just love to save them. You'd love to give them eternal life. You'd love to do that for them. That's why you come. And so I pray that you'd deal with the hearts of those, Lord, that know not Christ as their Savior. And let them know how much you love them. And that you'd be willing to save them today and give them that eternal life. So I pray for that to happen. And we as Christians, I pray that we'll rejoice in the salvation you have given us and be thankful and grateful for it. In Jesus' name, amen.